When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Spiegel and Holmes. Afternoons on the Score.
From North Carolina, a 6'5 guard, number zero, Kobe White.
In front, Kobe on a pump, Kobe on a drive, Kobe at the top of the key, Kobe to the rim, Kobe with the finish with the left hand. That was all Kobe White.
Kobe, first of all, is a great teammate, and every summer he's getting better.
Kobe, deep left wing three, bam! There you go, folks, Bulls reclaim the lead.
He committed the last two summers, you know, to his development.
Kobe's in that zone, left wing three, got it! Oh my goodness! Put him in the Hall of Fame! Put him in the Hall!
This summer, he goes and invites teammates to work out with him. So he grew as a leader, he found his voice.
Io, left wing, and he threw it behind Kobe, who tracks it down with six on the clock. Kobe with a spin, Kobe in the lane, Kobe goes to the rim and a layup with the right hand. The Bulls have erased a 22-point second-half deficit.
He always did whatever needed to be done for the team. He's a guy that has taken complete ownership of his career, his development, and what he's needed to do. And, you know, he's not a finger pointer at anybody. He always looks internally first. And, you know, he's grown into an incredible player.
Kobe White goes right to the cup for the jam.
Kobe, open right elbow three. Bam! That's a 40 bag for Kobe White.
Career high.
And this crowd saying, Kobe, 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 you gotta love it.
Spiegel and Holmes.
I want to go dancing with Kobe White.
Afternoons on the Score.
So many magical moments last season were brought to you by Kobe White. It was great to watch the continued development of what a lot of people think is a superstar. Kobe White now joins us here on the Spiegel and Holmes Show. Kobe, thanks so much for picking up the phone and talking with us.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
Kobe, it's great to talk to you, man. We have enjoyed watching your career and seeing it bloom the way it does. Big jumps last year in minutes, in points, in rebounds, assists. Tell us, why do you think your game took a leap forward last season?
I think just confident-wise, just the confidence continued to grow. And then having the coaching staff and my teammates all believe in me and believe that I can make this jump. So I might give a lot of credit to the people around me for continuing to push me and believe in me and you know, just accept me for who I am. So, you know, the work always going to show, but you always also, you know, got to shout out the ones around you who continue to push you each and every day.
Well, that's a beautiful thing. You can talk about those coaching staff, but we think about your teammates and we think about DeMar and Zach. What did your veteran teammates do for you over the course of last year and the years before that to help you get here, Kobe?
I think Zach is, I always say, like, Zach's been here since I got here, and he's always had that belief in me, even when sometimes throughout my career that I didn't have that belief in myself. He was always somebody that I could go to and turn to that you know, for advice or if I'm struggling, and he will always, you know, be a guy to remind me who I am and what I can do. And then just Debo, just learning from DeMar, being around him, you know, obviously he's one of the best to ever do it. So being around him, learning from him, getting to know him as a person was one of the best things that could have happened last year. And obviously those relationships last a lifetime, but they played huge parts in last year and then guided me, you know, throughout the entire year.
With those two guys, they've each had those huge moments, like, on the floor. As you were growing as a player, as your game was growing offensively, how did you feel knowing that those two guys were on the floor too? And, you know, you want to make sure that you're sharing, but you're also growing as an individual player. How do you balance that?
They made it real easy. They made it easy for me. I mean, those two guys are so unselfish that, you know, late games, whatever it may be, whoever had it rolling, you know, they kind of knew, like, if it was me, then they would let me rock out. If it was, you know, if it was them, then they would rock out. It wasn't a type of thing that, like, all three of us wanted the ball. It's like, we did a good job of reading off each other. And then, like I said, they're super unselfish. And like I said, they put their teammates first. So they just want to see us all succeed and everybody let everybody eat too. So
it's such a good question, Lawrence, because Kobe, like, we watched that and we're like, well, they must have talked about it. And who's going to get the last shot? And then they're going to talk about it after. It's like, does it carry that much weight, or how does that stuff go down before and after, Kobe?
No, it's really just in the moment. I think the main thing is making the right play. I think that those both guys want to make the right play. And then for me, it was just learning, obviously going through those moments, learning, but also, you know, following their lead because they have done it time and time again. And I was kind of new to it. But they also gave me the confidence to be that guy in those moments too. So it wasn't really something we talked over, like, you know, all right, you're going to get it, I'm going to get it. It was more so a read thing, like, what's been working, what hasn't been working, who has the hot hand, you know, who were they paying most attention to. So it was more so just the filling out the game and what the defense was giving us.
Considering that Lonzo's back, Josh Giddey is here, you're a guy that makes things happen with the ball in your hands. How do you find out how everyone works and works off of you?
I think just going through, I think the main thing with me is just I'm able to play on and off the ball and be effective without it and with it. And I think for me, it's just reading them. I've had so many different roles since I've been in the NBA that I'm kind of used to being versatile. So for me, I'm always going to put my teammates first, and whatever is needed is going to be done with me. But I think just going through it, getting those reps, starting now, like in training camp, just getting those reps, getting everybody on the floor together, filling each other out, and then going from there. But it, like I always say, like Giddey, Zoe, like those guys make it easy because they're you know, pass first guys, unselfish guys. So those guys make it very easy to play off them, and because they're gonna always make the right read, and their high IQ for the game makes it easy.
You know, we're looking forward to watching Josh Giddey. He the way that he thinks about the game and looks to make passes, is pretty high up there. Be honest, have you seen the internet cut up, Kobe, of some of those very creative Josh Giddey passes that went to nobody in Oklahoma City? Have you seen that?
No, I haven't got a chance to see it. The main thing that sticks out to me is well, I've seen a couple, especially like on inbounds passes where he throws it to a certain area and the guy's open and he doesn't really know he's open.
Yes, yes. There's so many, Kobe, where like no teammate is there or nobody's looking and it looks bad for Josh, but he still shoots his shot, man. He still goes for it. So you got to be ready, Kobe White. You got to be ready for creative passes from that man.
Yeah, just always be on point with him. Like I said, he throws passes that you know you don't necessarily see, but him and Zoe are kind of like that in the same way. So I've kind of gotten some experience with playing with Zoe. Like they both throw people open. You might not necessarily be open at the moment, but mm-hmm. they both see it one step ahead like I said, it goes back to their IQ and feel for the game.
Last year, you had a conversation with Chuck on the pregame show about shooting and how you've worked on shooting. And I was surprised when you said, you know, I haven't really had a shooting coach until Peter Patton came along. And just so that we can be transparent, I was college classmates with Peter Patton.
Do you know him personally?
Yeah. That Peter used to get buckets. He was also, I asked him this, I believe, was drafted by the Colorado Rockies as a pitcher. So,
he was?
Yeah, I think he was drafted, like, I want to say, like, maybe the 50th round or something like that in Major League Baseball. So you can throw that at him as well. Like, he was a really good pitcher growing up, too. But I was shocked to hear you say that, and I'd love to know, like, how did that go where – was it he coming to you or was it you coming to him? And what do you think you gained from the experience of working with him?
It was me going to him because when he first got here, he just kept kind of saying, like, you know, what everybody else had told me my entire life is like, you can already shoot. I don't want to mess with your shot. You can already shoot. You're a really good shooter. I don't want to mess with your shot. And I was like, I'm a good shooter, but I want to shoot 40%. And I hadn't done that in my career. I think the closest I ever came was 38.5. So I still haven't done it, but I just want to talk about, I want to be an above 40% shooter. And so after like weeks of trying to convince him to do it, he finally did it. And I told him I had some deficiencies in my shot. And when he worked with me, he agreed. And so we like just hammered it hard, like every night coming back to shoot. Working on techniques, working on getting it off quicker, working on my mechanics, working on my follow through. And so then it kind of just went from there. And now I talk to him constantly about my shots, and it's actually grown into a really great relationship. I got to know him a lot, even as he got three sons, I got to know him a lot. So he's a really, really good dude. And you know, he's always someone I can count on.
That shows a ton of maturity by you, Kobe. I mean, I really love when players are that type of vulnerable. Where do you think that comes from with you, where you were willing to humble yourself and say, I need some help?
I think just the want and need to get better. I think just wanting to get better. Like I always say, like, I learn from anyone. I go to a high school game and I try to pick up something. I'll watch anybody play. Like, it don't really matter to me. I just try to learn from anyone. And I think my biggest superpower is being able to look in the mirror and tell myself what I need to work on or what I need to get better at in order for that to happen. So it's no, like, with me, it ain't no pride. Like, I ain't really no pride or nothing going on. Like, I know who I want to become. I know the player that I want to become. And I know that it's going to take certain steps for me to get there.
Man, that's a superpower in life, Kobe White. Hold on to that. I mean, seriously, in any walk of life, is there somebody whose shooting mechanics are perfect or are aspirational for you that you and Peter have looked at in terms of, this is the kind of shot that I want to have?
No, not necessarily, because I think my shot was pretty compact and on point. I think it was just a little things that he needed to fix, like getting it off fast when I'm, or getting the stance, getting ready to shoot sometimes, because I make shots, I could be lazy and not ready to shoot all the time. And that's where some of my misses were coming in. I think just my follow through, making sure I hold it, following through into the rim. It was just little stuff that we got to just make habits for me, because I've built these bad habits in my shot for, 23 years of my life. So for me, it's about breaking those little things, breaking those little habits that I already got.
Kobe White with us here on Spiegel and Holmes on The Score. Are you the kind of guy now at this point in your life and career, Kobe, who's going to be able to tell a teammate if he didn't do something the way that it needs to be done? If you guys have practiced it one way and that person's not doing it, can you tell them?
Yeah, I mean, I think it first starts with getting to know that person off the court. And then you can have those conversations. I think that's the most important thing, is getting to know them off the court. And then you're able to have them on court conversation where, you know, maybe somebody missed a rotation or anything like that. But the thing is, it's like, it's always a two-way street. So if I'm able to tell them that, then I have to be able to receive whenever they tell me something. So that's kind of how I look at it. But I think I'm at the point in my career where I can say that I'm more of a leader on this team. So, yeah, for sure.
So, because this is a point in Kobe's career where he's going to have to do that.
There's no doubt about that. Kobe, you had so many great moments at the United Center last year. Just take us through Like, what's like emotionally when you're in the zone like that? And what type of feedback and love do you feel like you get from Bulls fans in those moments?
I think that those moments are priceless. Those moments that you can't, for me, I don't think I'll ever be able to replicate off the court in my life, creating those moments, I mean, those emotions. But at the same time, like, the fans are, it gets so rowdy in United Center, and I don't know how many times last year I got the Kobe chants, where everybody starts chanting my name. So, which is one of the best, you know, feelings that you can ever have. And I like I always say, like, the thing about Chicago is the fans are genuinely sports fans. Like, you go to some places and they're just at the game, you know what I'm saying? They're just there, like, as a concert. It's like an event to them. But to Chicago, they're there to support the players. They're there to see basketball. They're there to whatever sport it may be. I've been to multiple. I've been to Bears games. I've been to baseball games, Sox, Cubs, and all the fans are always genuinely sports fans, and they love sports. So you could tell they're passionate about it, and that's the best thing about being in Chicago to me.
Kobe White, this was really cool, man, and our listeners dug it. We are the flagship home of the Bulls. Let's make this a thing we do every once in a while. It's great to talk to you and get to know you, man.
Yeah, for sure. Thank you for having me.
Oh, thank you. That this was really delightful. Kobe White from the Bulls, that was outstanding.
Man.
Like, here's the thing. He was easy to cheer for anyway.
Even as a raw rookie and second-year guy, he was easy to cheer
for.
He's
the guy with the cool hair.
Cool hair. The number one scorer in the history of the state of North Carolina in high school. And like, you know he's a bucket getter.
And you hear him talk.
Now it's a whole nother level, right?
That way about, like, and not being afraid of his emotion and everything else. What a wonderful, wonderful kid.
Yeah.
That I love that. And that. I love that.
That's a superpower to have the humility to be like, man, I'll learn from anybody.
Yeah.
I'll go watch a high school game. If that dude knows how to shoot, let me see what I can learn from that.
It's a really difficult thing to, whatever it is that you're doing, like, to humble yourself and be like, you know, I think I got it, but I could use a little bit of help, or I could use someone kind of looking at what it is that I do and see how to get better. That type of humility takes you really far. By the way, this hour is being brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56David.com. That's 56David.com. And I'm glad that there are people that hit me up on Twitch and on the text lines that remember Peter Patton as a prep baseball player. It was legit, man. I want to say 50th round by the Rockies.
That's amazing.
Or something.
Wasn't he a lot better after the spider bit him at the Museum of Natural History?
Yes, that's what. Well, you're not really supposed to know that, and we could ask his Aunt May about it and see how she feels.
But I would ask his uncle, but his uncle passed away.
Oh, his Uncle Ben.
When he wasn't busy converting rice.
That's the different Uncle Ben.
To Christianity. That's what he was doing, right?
That's not what he was doing at all. Right?
When I read that Uncle Ben was converting rice, I was like, why is he not letting that rice have their own religion?
Why not go the other way? Like, maybe he was converting them to Judaism. You don't know.
That's not a thing. I guess it is, actually. But, you
converting
know.
Converting the rice.
Yeah, but
we've been saying for a while that Judaism's not a thing, and you keep pushing back.
No, it's like, but the Jews don't seek you out to try and convert you, you know?
Okay.
You're Christian. Shane, have you ever been approached?
Solicited, yeah.
Would you like to have a bar mitzvah?
Hey, man, I went to a black woman's bat mitzvah years ago.
That's outstanding.
Yeah. It was Karen Lewis.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
See?
Yeah.
There you go.
It was, and
well, good for her.
I had never been
to anything. Was Sammy Davis Jr. there?
He was not, because he'd been long dead.
Oh, that's too
but
bad.
But I was this is awesome. Then the reading of the Torah.
Yeah, it's the Torah.
It was long. It was a lot.
Karen Lewis, the former head of the CTU?
Yes.
Huh.
Lawrence knows people. He went to high school or college with Peter Patton, who was not Peter Parker. I was so close on that one.
Shout out to my guy Tom Kleinschmidt, by the way, too. I don't know if anyone had in their bingo card that my guy TK would be a state championship basketball coach, especially when he was at DePaul. That's my dude. I adore him, and look at what he's
cool.
done.
Let's talk to him.
And new Bull, EJ Liddell, Goff and I called his state championship game a few years ago. down in Peoria.
So the Bulls, we were talking yesterday with Cole Kmet, just yesterday. It's been a whirlwind on Spiegel and Holmes here. If you're not listening to this show, then I don't know how you're hearing this. But if you're also not listening for other reasons, then you need to stop not listening, because this is a show you should be listening to. If that's not a promo, I don't know what is. Okay?
We thank you for listening.
Yeah, we do. And if you're not listening, then we don't thank you, but we will look forward to thanking you in the future. Here's the thing. Just yesterday, we were talking to Cole Kmet about all these Chicagoland Bears. Matt Eberflus is so excited. Oh, he's one of the Chicagoland Bears guys. Doug Kramer coming up at 4 o'clock, as a matter of fact.
That's awesome.
But we were talking to Cole Kmet, and we suggested that they call themselves The Outfit. Cole Kmet and
he liked it.
Doug, he liked it. He liked it. And somebody's got to run with that. The old poster company.
I do like. Oh, I forget. You know what? I will bring it next week.
Oh yeah, you owe me a poster.
It is in my parents' garage, and my mother is telling everyone who comes to the house to take something away every time that we come to the house.
Oh, I know that dynamic.
In my parents' garage, I still have the Chicago Vice poster, Jim so awesome. McMahon and Walter Payton, and it's still wrapped. Like, it's still in the plastic.
Oh, my God.
So hopefully it's still there and she wasn't just throw that out.
No, you should unwrap it and put it up, and then Molly can take it down in the morning.
Well, I figured we'd just bring it here for the mob. The mob would enjoy it. We could put it up like right here.
Costikos Brothers is the name of the guys that made the posters. Those are the designers. Costikos Brothers. I know because I have one of Tim Raines. It says Rock of Ages, and he's sitting on a Spiegs. What's he sitting on?
A cocaine rock.
Oh no.
It's a huge rock, yeah. And then Robin Ventura, I've got one of Robin Ventura. It says Hot Corner.
Oh, okay. I thought he was lighting up a room. Standing in the floor lamp.
In the middle of a room that's very well lit.
So
a lampshade on his head.
When I was a kid, I was obsessed with Jim McMahon. So I had the Mad Mac poster. I also had the Junkyard Dog poster. And when I saw the Chicago Vice, I'm sure it was, you know, River Oaks or Lincoln Mall or something. Or Evergreen Plaza, probably.
Come to me, poster.
I said, I have to have this. Because it's so cool and so Crockett and Tubbs. Like, they got it. Like, the whole vibe of it.
Did they make, like, posters all over the country, not just Chicago? Because they probably made – I had a Daryl Dawkins Chocolate Thunder poster as a kid. And they probably made that one.
Yeah, they had the McGuire and Canseco Bash brothers, but I think they're dressed like the Blues Brothers, they did them all over.
They did over the country. But anyway, so the whole point in bringing the Cole Kmet thing up for me was the Bulls have a few of those. You said EJ Liddell. They've got a couple other locals.
Yeah, how about that? Well, you got what? Let's see, the point guard. Why am I blanking on the point guards?
Io.
No, Io.
Oh,
for
I got
sure.
Io, of course.
Dalen Terry?
No, not Dalen Terry. Guy who came over, Devin Carter.
Javon Carter. Yep.
Duh. Yeah, also from Chicago. So,
I forgot Javon's from here.
Yeah.
I was very excited about his acquisition. Some would say too excited about his acquisition.
I don't know if he, it never seemed
it
like.
Didn't seem to click.
To fit. Which I always felt like he would have been better for last year's team, like not. Having him just be like the second unit go guy.
Yeah, let him be the driver of the second unit. Because that dude was a badass as a driver at West Virginia under Bobby Huggins.
Yep.
An absolute badass. And I was like, where's that guy?
And occasionally from Milwaukee.
Yeah, but he's not just a spot-up shooter and like a defender. To me, that dude is a driver of culture and team. I've seen it.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. So
DJ Stewart is another one of the locals. Like, there's a few
Mattis.
Of them.
Mattis.
Yeah.
From Hinsdale.
Mattis from Hinsdale.
Yeah.
You know who else went to Hinsdale?
Doug Kramer.
Bam! Look at that.
The whole connection.
Tying the room together.
Doug Kramer's going to join us at 4 o'clock. Jason Leisure is going to join us from Hallis Hall next here on...
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
On the score.
Did we see what was up your sleeve? Did you use it? Or
I don't know. What's up yours?
Jason Leisure is kicking Matt Eberflus's ass.
I don't know if I really look at it that way, Jay.
Jason Leisure.
I'm here in the studio at the score. This is a very, very special honor for you.
You are right about miserable Jason Leisure. He joins us now.
I feel like Stu Gatz doesn't really like this segment.
I think you're great. I think you're miserable.
It might be the one thing that you and I have in common is that we both don't like this segment.
There's reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times.
You want to believe that they're telling you the truth and what they're saying is straightforward, but that, of course, isn't how it works here.
Jason Leisure.
You got to feel like a proud father. Your kid's just growing up right before your eyes. But watch Caleb. He's going to scan the whole field. Wants to take a shot down the field. He sees it. No way. The internal clock goes off and dumps it to the flat. Another positive first down play.
About the more subtle decisions, maybe the turnovers are obvious when we see that, but just recognizing what was available.
Yeah, we always talk about how big check downs are. Being able to steal a third down is kind of what we call it. I think we did well with that as a group.
Jason Leisure with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Read his work in the Sun-Times. He's a good man and thorough, and he joins us now on Spiegel and Holmes. Mr. Leisure, thanks for stopping by. I wanted to talk with you about the run game a little bit. We saw DeAndre Swift look as good as he's ever looked as a Bear. Why?
Well, there's three main components that go into the run game, and it's Shane Waldron, what he calls. It's their offensive line, how they block it. And then it's Swift, what he does with those situations. And you're looking at some things that had been pretty good for a long time before Shane Waldron got here. So you kind of start with him in your investigation of what has gone wrong here. Because this used to be the only thing the Bears were good at, Lawrence, the last 2 years. This was the one thing they could do, is they could run. And a lot of that offensive line is back. And DeAndre Swift was a really good running back on a better team with a better O-line and everything, a more balanced offense last year. So I tend to think it doesn't start with either of those things. And it might start with calling read options on fourth and goal at the one. And Shane Waldron called from the start. You could see he was going to call a much more conventional game. And I know that that's not artsy and fun and creative, but sometimes things are conventional because they work. And there was a lot more just kind of straightforward or putting a fullback in there. And really credit to Shane Waldron because he didn't have a fullback. That's not something that they can just throw somebody in there on Sunday and say, I forgot, we don't have a fullback. Let's put Gerald Everett in there or Doug Kramer. That's something they have to work on. That's a creative solution to an injury problem. If you look at Swift's biggest run of the game, the 36-yard touchdown, I think it was, that's an example of everything working right. It's a good play call. You have Braxton Jones and Coleman Shelton getting really good movement, 2 yards or more up the field and blocking linebackers. You have Cole Kmet taking care of whoever the defensive end was on that play. And then the right side of the line moving everything that way. Huge hole. Swift wasted no time getting in there. Once he got to the next level, he had linebackers blocked off and he was gone. He got to use his speed. That's a perfect example of good call, good offensive line, and really good decision-making in the moment by DeAndre Swift.
Before we go back to Waldron, let's stick with Swift for a moment, Jason. Do you think he ran a little more directly, a little more north-south, maybe even in the second half of this game? It's what it felt like watching it. When you look at the film, do you see a little more of that? And I wonder if that's by design or because he got a lather going or what that was about, if indeed you noticed it.
No, I did right away. I think first play of the game, he was doing that. You saw him 6 yards on the first play of the game. I think maybe 2 yards on his next carry, but it was all forward. It was a lot more up and down rather than shifting, looking for the big play. It was just barreling ahead, taking some yards. And he didn't have, if I have this right, he didn't have a negative yards carry until I think midway through the fourth quarter. So if you go that way, I mean, he's had games where you're sitting there and he's got 6 carries for -5 at one point in the game. If you just start ahead and stay ahead and just keep taking yards, I don't love them being in 3rd and 6, but I like it a lot better than 3rd and 13.
How do you view the meetings that took place last week? Because Speaks and I have kind of found this place where we think that it's a positive, and not just because they won, but because it shows that the line of communication goes both ways.
I think it's good that players are speaking up. It's good that Caleb Williams is speaking up. I don't think it's as dramatic as it maybe was made to look last week. I think it was pretty routine of what happens. Although the one thing I would say is different is everything is increasing with Caleb Williams every week, including not just his accuracy or his decision-making, his game prep, things like that, but also his input, his ability to speak into the game plan and to tell Shane Waldron, hey, we need more of this, less of this. And now Shane Waldron is ultimately the guy that's going to call the plays. And, you know, this isn't a movie. This isn't Varsity Blues. Like, whatever play Shane Waldron calls, Caleb is going to run. But getting some more input, being a little more assertive during the week, which he said he was last week, is a good thing for the collective. It's good for Shane Waldron to know what his quarterback wants him to call.
Yeah, I think that's definitely true. And I don't necessarily see, I don't see the listening to it as a weakness at all. Like, whatever it takes to get the collective to where they need to get to, as long as they kind of don't lose respect for each other in the process. So, like, where do we go from here? Continued collaboration. As long as there is success, I wonder, do you see a negative at all in terms of where we go from here now that that kind of communication has been established?
Not at all. And the thing I like the most about whatever happened last week, however you want to characterize it as players speaking up or getting more feedback to Shane Waldron, was that it seemed to originate from the players. And then Shane Waldron was receptive to it. This is a lot different than a few years ago, Matt Nagy kind of going around with a suggestion box, basically, of saying, hey, what do you guys think's not working? Because I can't figure it out. I can't find the whys. Have you seen them? This was a lot more coming from the players, particularly from your rookie quarterback, saying, this is what we need to run for my comfort level.
Yeah, the Y's. I mean, I always thought that New City was a really good one. A New City YMCA.
Southside Y.
Southside's great. The one up on Irving Park, I don't love because that's where I tore my ACL playing hoops.
Southside Y, I think, is the standard. Right there on 63rd and Stoney.
It's too bad that Nagy could never find him. He might have lasted a lot longer.
I could have helped him out with that. It's right by the new Obama Center. It's right there.
He didn't ask. He didn't have the humility to ask. He needed.
I took swimming lessons at the Taylor YMCA in Elgin, Illinois. Man, I grew up playing pickup basketball.
See, he could have asked anybody of us, and we could have told him.
Show you why?
Yeah, you damn right.
Were you as aggressive with Matt Nagy as you were with Matt Eberflus at times, Jason Leisure?
Were you not here?
It is the truth.
For real?
No, maybe it's just the Eberflus stuff. It was more memorable from last year. I'll have to go back. I got to be honest. I got so exhausted by Matt Nagy. Like the last year and a half of Nagy, he was like he was a teacher on old Peanuts cartoons to me. He was a trombone. That's all he was. So
it was he and Matt Eberflus. Both of them give you a lot of non-answers at the podium, but at least Matt Eberflus keeps it shorter. At least it's not 3 minutes of, you know, and usually the first sentence or two from Matt Nagy would go toward whatever you asked. It'd be a non-answer in relation to whatever you asked.
Yeah.
And then he would kind of curve into this canned speech about the whys and about everything else. The thing about Matt Nagy, I feel like I actually did let up on him at the end because it was such a bizarre situation where we all kind of figured he was getting fired all the way back to week three after that Cleveland game. And then it was a virtually done deal by mid-November or so. But they're not going to actually fire him then. So he's going to come out there every day for 2 months. And everybody knows he's going to get fired. And our questions oftentimes were under the premise of, hey, we know you're not going to be here, but what do you think about this? Or what do you think about that? And it was kind of this open secret between us and him and he's still coming out there and talking every week. And I remember they lost, I think it was a Monday night game at Soldier Field to the Vikings, one of those typical 17-9 or 17-12 Bears games that I've watched my entire life. And I remember him giving some kind of answer about, yeah, it's just not working. This isn't working. And my follow-up question was along the lines of, well, Matt, you say that all the time. Like, how have things changed? And he goes, yeah, I don't know. They just haven't. It's on me. And I remember walking out of there thinking, this is with two or three games left, Matt. I remember walking out of there thinking, like, it's done. I don't need to keep doing this. I don't need to keep beating this guy over the head with his failures. Like, it's decided already.
This segment with Jason Leisure is brought to you by Finishing Chicago. Great finishes start with contractors from finishingchicago.com. So the Bears have this good week of them running the ball, and a lot of it did happen after Tevin Jenkins got hurt. But I'm wondering, going forward, how big a deal is that?
It's a pretty big deal. Also, we didn't mention this, but they had a really good week running the ball against, I believe, the worst run defense in the NFL. That
helps. Dead last, yeah.
That helps. Now, any progress, any sign of life in that running game is a good thing for the Bears, but you do have to have the full context of what they did and what they were playing against. And this should be a favorable week for them, too, with Carolina. I always want Tevin Jenkins on the field. I think he has been, over time, he's been their best offensive lineman, which is remarkable because he got overdrafted at a different position by a different administration. There was a point, I think 2 years ago it was, we were in training camp thinking, this guy might be straight up cut. I just don't see where they're going to play him. And then he moves to guard and makes a career out of it and will have a career out of that. I would want him on the field no matter what. Offensive line is a little weird because sometimes it's about the combination. There's been times where a backup plays, and it's not that he's better than the starter. It's just something fits better with that guy in there. You might be seeing a little bit of that with Matt Pryor. I know it was temporary, but that happened a few years ago with the Bears with Sam Mustafa playing, I think, center or guard for them. When he came in, things seemed to work a little bit. But there's just certain combinations that work. But I would always prioritize having the talent in there. And Tevin Jenkins is at the high end of what talent they have on the offensive line.
It feels like a tricky week to dissect the defense, frankly, because they got gashed for a while. Some guys were very, very open, and we talked about it with Jalen Johnson yesterday in some good conversation. And Kyren Williams and the Rams ran the ball pretty well for a while. But Jervon Dexter made some flash plays, and Montez Sweat showed up big. Yeah, he was being blocked by a tight end or wide receiver, but he showed up big and made splash plays that mattered. What did you take away from the defensive line effort this week, yeah. Jason?
Well, Montez was in there on a bunch of plays, too. I love all these advanced metrics that we have now where it's not just simplified down to sacks or quarterback hits or things like that. This is something that really has been on my radar with Montez Sweat all season, going into the season. He is their single highest paid player, Matt. He has got to play like that. And when you look back to the last time they had a dominant pass rusher in Khalil Mack, man, they thought of everything to neutralize him. Chips, double teams, triple teams, whatever. And he still got his production. This, you can't be some kind of loose, ambiguous, he's doing better than you guys think. When you're talking about a $25 million a year pass rusher, you have to produce. You have to be a game-changing player who gets sacks, who puts the other team in second and 18 or something like that, or forces really bad interceptions or strip sacks, whatever. And Montez Sweat, if he wants to be an elite pass rusher, that's what he's going to have to do. And I think he has done that pretty well so far this season.
We will see you on Thursday. You'll be here in studio filling in for Speaks.
Thank you, Jason. Enjoy yourself.
I appreciate it. Thank you for the opportunity. And for, I guess, you know, maybe it's better that we're not in there together, Matt. I don't know if that room is big enough for the two of our egos.
Yeah, no, we got a lot of stuff to work through. It's going to be a long season. We got a lot of stuff. I know you're very strong-willed. You believe some things that I have a problem with. I'll talk about it with you off the air.
Yes, sir. Yes. You guys, and then you guys will go talk with Shane Waldron, and it'll be fine.
I have a leadership council meeting.
That's key.
The leadership council has 75 people on it. I think Larry Mayer is on the leadership council.
I saw him on the sidelines this past Sunday. He's definitely on the leadership council, and who doesn't want to be led by Larry Mayer? Jason Leisure, we will see you soon. Thank you very much.
See you guys.
See, you make a joke like that, and then people think, oh, you're doing that score thing where you're talking about the meetings is a bad thing. Meetings are a good thing. We're both there. Just as a reminder, meetings are a good thing. There is no downside to communication. In fact, it's really good and helpful.
And Larry Mayer is a good man and thorough.
God.
Speaking of which, like the outpouring of affection for Dikembe Mutombo has been well earned in his life. We need to talk about that because it's one of those things that, you know, we hadn't really have room for in yesterday's show. I'm glad that you decided to make room for it in today's.
Well, and his connection with one of our greatest athletes of all time was palpable, and there's some good audio to illustrate that as well.
We'll do that next here on The Score.
Rejected by Mutombo!
Very nice. Simpkins,
and a great block by Mutombo!
Mutombo! There's a little finger wave to the crowd, leading shot blocker in the NBA.
There's a beat, Jordan, blocked away by Mutombo!
Jordan lost that ball going up, but Dikembe right there, perfect timing on that block.
Inside to Jordan, rejected by Mutombo!
Not in my heart.
So, I would say, Lawrence Holmes, and it's me, Matt Spiegel, talking. It's the Spiegel and Holmes show. Doug Kramer of the Bears, the mini fridge, coming up in about 10, 12 minutes. The finger wag from Dikembe Mutombo is one of the most iconic celebrations in the history of professional sports. It spawned imitators not just in basketball, but across other sports and on playgrounds all across America. Let's think about it, man. The Mutombo finger wag is right there. And you remember MJ doing it back at him after he dunked on him in the All-Star game? Just freaking delightful. And I had not seen this video of Dikembe Mutombo and Michael Jordan. This is at that All-Star game, I think, right? The 96 All-Star game. I do believe it is. Chris Tannehill saw it as well. And this is them in the hallway, dressed up and ready for the All-Star game. This is Mutombo and MJ.
Oh, you were going to dunk on me?
I wasn't trying to dunk you, man. Year. I wasn't trying to
since
dunk on you.
My rookie year, man.
I got you, didn't I?
When?
Your rookie year.
No, me Scotty, and Scotty did.
Okay.
Scotty did okay. In Chicago.
And then when MJ finally got him, here's Tom Doerr and Red Kerr and John Paxson.
Michael, get a hold for the fresh apple. MJ.
Michael shakes the finger. A technical. He got a technical. But he finally got his dunk on Mount Matumbo. And he's going to say after the game, well, it took a long time, but it was worth it.
Well, it was just good movement. They get a couple shots. They come up with the offensive rebound. Good post pass, and then the hard cut along the baseline. And a terrific drop pass from Luke Longley.
Down the lane he comes. He hammers it down home.
So MJ got the technical foul for waving the finger, but that wave may have done a lot to keep this crowd in the ballgame.
John Paxson sounds like he's 11 years old in that cut.
Pax was also a really talented analyst.
Man.
Like, if that's what he would have chosen to stay focused on.
It's tough, though, man. When he and Kenny Williams shared that bunk bed in the Reinsdorf mansion for those decades of never having to get anything done but getting to stay there on the payroll. It's a tough gig to turn down.
It is.
Sorry, this devolved into John Paxson abuse.
No, I wanted to praise him.
Yeah, Lawrence actually started with a compliment.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if you remember that.
I fell apart. Good vibes, babe.
Tom Doerr, Red Kerr, John Paxson on the. And you're right. Like the idea of. And remember, like when we were watching basketball back then, Speaks.
Yo.
The idea of attacking a 7-footer was crazy. Like some of those guys that were out there, like Mark Eaton or Big Country or Dikembe or Dream.
But you got to go right at
but
those
you
guys.
You got to.
That's how you neutralize them. That's, or at least you put the fear of God in them, at least a little, so they don't take that extra step to come out on you.
And when you got one of those moments, when you got one of those moments where you're in attack mode and the guy whose whole job is to protect the rim, that they have an advantage in a defensive-minded era of the NBA of you're not going to go in there because that guy is going to foul you hard or he's going to block your shot or he's going to send it to the seats or whatever. When a guard does that to a big, there's something visceral about it. Like everyone can feel it when – you know that that's the guy that you've got to go through to get to the bucket.
So Dikembe talked about MJ finally getting him with the dunk and the legacy of the finger wag.
I tell you what, it took Michael 7 years to get one dunk.
Oh, there you go.
There
you go. Let it know.
Boom.
I'm in the Hall of Fame just from blocking shots. So give me some credit. You know, I'm not going to sit here. Why? Because somebody was lucky enough to get one dunk. But how many of those blocks I got on Michael?
Yeah, that's true. We can be showing that for days. I do want to know, is there anyone in today's game you think is worthy of the finger wag?
I think... there's so many younger players who are trying to follow my footsteps.
Mm-hmm.
Serge Ibaka, Biyombo, and a few of them. They want to follow their leaders, those who come before me. Like the same way I did follow the footsteps of Bill Russell, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and Patrick Ewing.
What about this guy? Because he's
doing that's
it.
My baby boy.
I know he is.
He's amazing, but I need to go back start collecting some fee.
You need a loyalty check. That's right.
Because he's been using it, and I didn't know if you'd given him permission or not.
No, I let them use it.
Okay, all right.
They're just making me famous.
There you go. Yes, making you famous, because you need Joel to be doing that.
Embiid adored Mutombo because Mutombo was a statesman, a humanitarian of the highest order, an incredibly important African to have reached the levels that he reached.
It's kind of amazing all of the different places that you're seeing eulogies of Dikembe Mutombo. Cindy McCain put out a picture of the two of them doing humanitarian work. Statesman's a great word for Dikembe Mutombo and what he meant inside of the Georgetown, like him being a part of that thing, that run of centers that they had there. Wow. And it's very sad, especially because he was only 58 years
he's
old.
Too young, man.
But you hear all that joy, like in his voice and the joy that he brought to people by just speaking. And then you add in all of the hard work that he has done both in America and in Africa to help grow the game and to help as many people as he could. really, really incredible. And we're lucky. We're lucky that we got to witness what he became and the fact that he didn't mind poking a little fun at himself, too.
Awesome. All right, Lawrence, I got to go get something. I got to bring something in to be in the proper formation for the Doug Kramer segment.
Okay, Doug Kramer had a nice star turn in Sunday's game. We are going to hang out with him, and you don't want to miss it. It is next here on The Score.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.